Hello, hello, winning season community. I'm your host, Jacqueline Twilley. Welcome back to the podcast for underrepresented leaders in male-dominated industries. We have Erica Franklin, who is a sales guru, sales coach, and philanthropist, who is joining us on the episode today. Welcome, Erica.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So let's hop in. Can you tell us the titles that you carry in your work life?
Yeah. So right now, I am a sales consultant at the core, but I also, my current role was assistant in sales. I'm a director of sales. And then I actually was just named the head of operations for the Africa Sales Academy. So those are my current titles. So CEO, head ops, and director of sales.
Yes. And you have had a very successful career in sales. You've been in tech for quite a while. Your career is global. You've worked across continents. So tell me a little bit about yourself beyond your LinkedIn profile.
Yeah, so beyond my LinkedIn profile, what I would want others to know, right? Sales was not something that I wanted to do. I thought, when I thought about sales, I thought about a sales call, like a car salesman, right? And that was not my life. That is not my spirit, and not my ministry. So I thought that sales was for so many other people, and it's definitely a male-dominated, a white male-dominated space. So there was also a bit of fear there, right? Or a bit of the unknown, because I didn't see a lot of people that looked like me doing that job. So it just so happened my background was in marketing and advertising, where I still had degrees and so forth. I transitioned into a customer success role. And then that broke into the sales industry, right? So I got that to experience to be on the consultative side. And then I got put into an account management role. So all to say that it was not something that I selected, but something that I'm so proud and honored to be in today. And I inspire women on the regular to be like me and better than me as well. So
that is a perfect segue to the theme for this month. It's Women's History Month, and we're highlighting women making history. You are one of them. The theme is Imagine a Gender Equal World, hashtag Inspire Inclusion. When you hear that, what comes to mind?
So now that I'm about to turn 40, I'll be 40 next month, gender equality, right? I think that we need to redefine that. And also being on the other side of the world in a country where gender roles are seen differently. As opposed to or compared to other parts of the world. So I'm in Africa. I think that there are roles for certain genders. And don't get me wrong, I don't think that everybody, like a woman, should be cooking and cleaning and that's all her life, right? But there are things that women don't like to do. I don't want to do it, right? So when I think about that, it's like, how do we redefine that, but also add ease into our life, especially as women? We can't do it all. And I recently talked about this. We have this feminine role that we need to play. We do need to have strength and we do need to have power and intelligence, but we also need to embrace our soft life. So when I think about that, that's what I really lean into, is like, how can I be the greatest that I can be, but also let people help me, let people build me up, let people support me.
When I hear you say that, it reminds me of this myth of the strong Black woman, the myth that we have to do all the things, carry all the burdens, and
be
not
everybody to everyone, right? Yeah.
Right. So when you were saying that, that's what it was bringing me to. I think you and I may have talked about this before a few years back, but can you tell me how you bust that myth, and also how do you embrace a soft life?
It was a struggle. I can tell you that because we do carry that, and we carry that generationally, right? We've seen our aunts, our mothers, our grandmothers, everyone was so strong and went through so much. And so breaking that and breaking these kind of, I would even say trauma cycles, right? Because it ends up being a trauma because we're so tired, we're so stressed, we're so overwhelmed, we have anxiety, we have fear. So it's like it builds a lot of negative aspects in our life when we're trying to be everything to everybody and be the best at all times, like every all day, you know, being on can make you exhausted. So breaking that has taken a lot of healing, really looking at my life and where I want to go. And do I need to have, like, can I be successful in my career? Can I be successful as a now new mom, a new wife? And I talked about this recently too. It's like, you can have everything, but you just can't have it all at the same time. And that's okay. So I think that's where we need to be. And we need to embrace that is how it's going to be. Right. But we will be great and we are great. So,
and that's so beautiful that how you describe, we can have all the things, but not all at once. You're doing many things, but you're doing them at a pace that works best for you. As a CEO of a sales consultancy, what are some of the things that you do to support other people to embrace a soft life by the services that you offer?
Ooh, I love this question. So really having consultations. So I know that we've worked together on my career journey, right? And those conversations really helped me. I will say that when I think back of what we did together, it was very therapeutic. And so in the sales consultancy, sometimes those conversations lean that way. It's not always planned to be that way, but it helps, right? If you're having a bad day and we come on, we can't necessarily talk about sales goals and all those things, but we can talk about, oh, what happened with, you know, your kid at school or what happened. I think we need to be open to that, especially after COVID. The way the world is going, all the things that are happening in everyone's life, we need to really be personable and be open to people's stories, stuff where they are. And so that's part of that. And then also really embracing that if there are down slopes in business, because there are a lot going, it's a lot going on with the economy currently. So I will say in certain industry, sales is not that great. And then the last thing is that there are a lot of small businesses that are being created. And so really embracing the new, as I like to say, because people have these new ideas. They want to run fast. Again, they want to be strong and do everything and like be successful overnight. So really slowing people down and having those conversations about, let's take it one step at a time. Let's look at the greater picture, but let's look at each individual piece and pace yourself. And so by pacing yourself, you end up having a softer life.
And with that soft life, I know we see the stats that Black women are one of the largest segments of new business owners. They're setting up businesses at a rapid rate. And so many of those businesses need sales support and sales coaching. You just can't rely on a social media post to generate revenue for your business. So for those people who are in the early phases of their business, as an expert in sales, what are some of the things that you would advise people to do to set themselves up for success?
Yeah, so especially for small businesses, I really motivate and encourage people to look at their tech stack, right? Especially with AI out, you have CRMs. So finding efficiencies and finding products that can help you, because you probably don't have the budget to go and hire a team. Right. And you also need to invest in your education. So learning how to use ChatGPT or whatever AI tools that you want to use, going to look at HubSpot, Salesforce, these other kind of tools that you'll need in your sales journey, looking at sales resources, free or paid. So really trying to direct people on not only educating themselves, but also making their life easier. I do like this term, the soft life, is so funny to me. Because I think when you first came out, it's about like getting your nails done and getting your hair done. But it's like, no, it's also about how to alleviate some of the ripping and running, as we would call it, right?
Right.
On the East Coast, how do you eliminate some of that ripping and running so you can rest? And by looking at some of these tech products that can really help you automate and become more efficient, you can do that.
And so that leads me to really want to unpack, what are the values that inspire your daily leadership?
Awesome. Very good question. When it comes to me, like the values, really, one main one is trust, right? So I have an awesome relationship with a lot of Black women in the sales industry, but also in other industries. And there's a trust there that we, you know, we have support. We can call each other. We can motivate each other. I can tell you right now that if I wanted to pick up the phone and put someone on speaker, I can call probably five people. They would answer immediately and be like, Erica, what do you need? Right. And that can happen. And I'm also that person that will do that for others. So that trust and that relationship piece are two key values. Then the other value is, I would say the learning piece. I think it's a life, this lifelong learner kind of statement. I really believe deeply in that. So really having an open mind to be able to accept new information. Being someone that were, you know, I was so planted and rooted on the East Coast, and being open to the world has taught me so much, not only as a salesperson, but just personally as a human. And that then reflects in my business as well.
And that is an interesting concept. I want to unpack those values further, because as you were building your sales career, you were also very active globally in philanthropy. Can you tell me about your journey to be a global philanthropist?
Yeah, so my focus with that and my real want for that was that we see a lot of organizations try to save Black people, right? And I really wanted to be a person of color, right? A Black person who is helping Black people, because we should be able to help our own and do it successfully. And also to be able to highlight that, to motivate others to do so. And it's also vice versa, to be able to have the people that need to be helped to see people that look like them helping them, right? So to break this kind of stereotype that we need all these other groups to help us when we can help each other. So that was the motivation really around the Global Giver, and to be able to post about certain things, have people get involved, and also find areas not only on the continent, but in the Caribbean to be able to help as well. So that was the real motivator. Those values cross over into my philanthropy, because with trust, education, right, and that relationship building, I was able to meet so many great people, impact so many lives, and also inspire others.
That's beautiful. I know that your friends, your family, prayer, and gratefulness are some of the things that you incorporate into your daily life. When I see you on stages speaking globally, doing trainings, and really being a leader in various organizations, I see those things come out of you with ease and grace. So it's like ingrained in your DNA. Can you kind of walk me through some of the steps, maybe in various parts of your career, where you hone those values to get to the point where they're just so natural and effervescent in everything you do?
Yeah, so I can take you back to one of the darker places, and how I, you know, was able to grab the light and, you know, keep the lights on, per se. So 2019 was a very dark year for me, just because I felt in my career that I had reached like the ceiling and I couldn't move, and I was like suffocated. I was feeling really bad. And so I quit my job, and I didn't have another job. And I just was like, I'm gonna wing it and we'll figure it out. I also thought, oh, I'll get a job in 3 months, right? Because I'm a superstar. Like, who wouldn't want me? And it took me, I want to say it was over a year to get a job. But in that darkness, I found so much light. I found so much rest. I found a new definition of the soft life. Even with that fear and anxiety, I was able to sleep and gain clarity on what I wanted to do next. Right? Bought a whiteboard, had some great meals, had some great conversations, did a lot of networking, and a lot of healing, right? A lot of prayer, a lot of deep conversations by myself of like, what's really bothering me? It's not like this event or this person is like whatever happened to me 3 years ago, or somebody said this to me in my career. And that's still like, you know, that I still hear that voice in the back of my head. So healing some of those things and having the space. I do tell people that when you are in a corporate role, even as an entrepreneur, you need silence sometimes. So whether that's you taking a vacation, we've talked about this too, right? You taking time off to be able to unplug, turn your phone off, and just sit in silence, you will hear yourself and you'll heal yourself, right? So those things happened in a place of darkness. I was able to really grow from there and evolve from that into who I am today. So now looking 5 years back, it's like, God, thank God that that happened to me, because now I'm where I want to really be. So
I remember that chapter, your sabbatical year, how at the end of it, a lot of your friends were telling you how inspired they were by your journey, your courage as a Black woman to opt out of the hustle and grind and no days off and really invest in yourself during that time. Are you comfortable sharing with some of the people, not the names of the people, but some of the things they said to you after your sabbatical year?
Yeah, they were really motivated by it. They were encouraged that, how can I say that? They were very encouraged that I could choose the road less traveled, right? So, and as a Black woman, you know, we come with, going back to what we were talking about earlier, being strong, like fighting the good fight, staying in our role, you know, trying to make the best out of, you know, lemons out of, you know, lemons to lemonade situation. But we don't have to do that. We can just walk away and we can create our own. We can find a new job. We can not, right? We can live off our savings for a while until we figure out what we really want to do next. And so, yes, my close circle was very inspired. My family was scared, I will tell you this, for me. But now looking back, I know that they were so proud because look where I ended up now. So, yeah.
And what do you think that chapter did for you in terms of how you were able to step out of the corporate space and become an entrepreneur?
So it recently gave me the faith and the space to lead corporate America again, right? So I got a job in 2020, changed a job quickly because I knew it wasn't for me. And that is something, that's a note. So if we can put a pin in that for a second, I was usually staying in jobs and positions too long. And so for me to be able to turn around after a few months and quit a job, right, and find another role, it was so monumental in my life because I could then set boundaries, really listen to myself, know what I want, know what I needed, and make firm decisions. And so not just be wishy-washy and be scared, but just jump all into what I wanted. And then, you know, but 2023, into 2023, I was able to leave corporate America again, right? It just speaks volumes of what happened then, because it has propelled the faith that I have in myself to be able to stand on both my feet, no matter where I am in my career, where I am personally. I think back to that moment in those dark, you know, those dark memories, those dark nights when I was thinking about, like, what am I going to do with myself? And I'm like, look at what happened. So I got me and I got my family, right? I can always depend on myself because I know that I will come out on the other side even better than I was when I came in.
That's so inspiring. I want to circle back to something you said a few minutes ago. You said at some point you can opt out, and even if you have to, you can get another job or you can live off the savings. A lot of people find that to be a very radical idea. Live off of their savings, because some people are still working on their relationship with money. What are some of the things that happened in the earlier chapters of your life that set you up to have a healthy relationship with money where you could save and have the space to take a year sabbatical?
Yeah. So, well, one, I didn't want to take a year.
Right. I remember.
It just happened that that's how it played out. But retirement, and I know folks are scared to use their retirement, but I think what we're learning, especially now in this economy, is that if you have it and you need peace and you need rest. And so your mental stability, you do what you can, right? And if that money is there, you pull it. If that money is, you know, not there, then we'll figure out another way. But wherever you have money, whether it's in your savings, your retirement, your auntie, you know, you can move back home. Like, there's so many different things you can do. I was able to sustain and live in my own place for that time, but I was also able to travel. So I did have enough to where I could live kind of the life that I still was before. It probably even a little bit better because I was resting again, right? I wasn't working 8-12 hour days. But my relationship with money is a roller coaster. But during that time, it was also, it was like a highlight in my life that I had saved enough money to be able to help myself in that way and not rely on anybody else. Again, my family was nervous because I know that they were like, well, you're not working. So how is this going to, you know, play out? But they saw me ended up being in a successful position and being able to get another role. And now again, moving into entrepreneurship and being successful in this place. So
I know everything you touch is always successful because you have this innate ability to know your value, and you always have. And I got to see that on display when you were in a position and it wasn't a good fit for you, and you transitioned out of that really quickly. So when it comes to knowing your value, which is so essential in a sales position, what are the things that you coach your clients on in terms of helping them to understand the value that they have?
Yeah, I think it goes back to this telling your story piece, right? I think that people get lost in, like, definitely data points, right? That we need to see the ROIs. But to in the sales industry, to be able to persuade, to be able to gain a customer, to be able to even engage the customer and have them long term, there has to be a storytelling element. So to take those data points and to take the qualitative and the quantitative and put it together and to be able to tell a story is really powerful. So that's part of it, a big part of it for me. My background, like I said before, I got into kind of the sales world through customer success, being consultative and being able to tell these stories of how you can be successful using a product or a service. That has been with me from the beginning. I still use that today and try to teach people how to do that too.
Can you share with us a moment or a piece of advice that helped you boost your confidence and the way you lead?
Yeah. So I think it has to do with one, being in certain rooms and then being on certain teams. So I'll say this. So currently as a director of sales, assistant in sales, the team, I don't know how I got here and I got so blessed with so many people who not only loved me, but love me and what I do. So it's a blessing to be able to be in an environment every day, say remotely, I'm in this environment, right? But like I said, I can have people to call or they can call me and have that open conversation and relationship. And so a moment in time was when I went to, so Sisters in Sales actually saved me from leaving sales as well. So I went to a Sisters in Sales event, I want to say it was back in 2019. Came out of that event and was like, hell no, I can't leave sales, right? And so after that, reached out to the CEO, wanted to start a chapter. That didn't really happen, right? But she later came back and asked me to project manage the virtual summits. Look at God, right? And so right. That relationship led to where I am today, which also this relationship has helped me leave corporate America because I have this contract and this awesome position that I can be able to sustain a lifestyle that I want within this job, but also pay it forward to other women as well to teach them sales skills, make environments and spaces for them, in addition to bringing on, you know, awesome companies that they can work for.
I can talk to you all day because, you know, you're one of my favorite people and I get so inspired every time I hear you speak. But I also want to respect the time that we have. Can you bring us to a moment in time when you recognize that you were in a winning season?
I will be honest. I feel like it is now. And I say that because I have never been in a place of so much peace. It's chaos. But there is a, like, people tell me now, Eric, I can hear it in your voice. Like, they can even feel it in my spirit when they're with me. Winning to me, like I said before, is not just about my career. Like, I had a whole baby, right? I've created a whole life. I have a whole handsome husband, right? So, like, all of these things, I feel like I'm winning because I, you know how you have these dreams and moments where you really, like, can envision your life? I'm living in this answered prayer, right? And so I'm just so grateful. Like, I don't get me crying. But I'm so grateful and I'm so excited. And then the cherry on top is that I get to have this career where I'm helping others do what I love to do and also help small businesses as well as large businesses if they need my services to be successful. So I'm in my winning season now.
I love that. And I definitely hear the peace in your voice. I feel it even though we're virtual right now. So it's very evident. As we begin to end this conversation, can you tell the Winning Season community how they can connect with you online and how to find out more about your services?
Yes, absolutely. So you can connect with me on Instagram. It's EVKnows. So EVKNOWS. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. You can search Erica Franklin. And then you can also sign up for an appointment or shoot me an email at erica@edfconsult.com. So those are the three best ways to reach me. And if anything, you can reach out to Jacqueline and she will put you in contact with me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Erica, thank you so much for being a guest on this special edition of the Winning Season podcast, Women Making History. Until next time, community, continue to emulate excellence and eliminate excuses.